They partnered with us and came and were a guest speakers at our family camp several years back. And so ever since that time, we've been looking forward to having them again. And so it's been really good, and we're grateful that it worked out. Many of you would know that Pastor Dean and Laura pastored in Kenora, just like an hour and 15 minutes away, not far at all, just a little bit southwest of us. And they pastored there for many years. And so I wasn't here when there was like women's conferences and men's conferences. At least I wasn't old enough to partake in the men's conference. Yeah, well, I wasn't invited to, exactly. I was in Alberta for the most part, or perhaps British Columbia. But I can see there's a lot of connection here. And there's a lot of relationship that has happened in years past. And so many of you were excited to hear that they were coming. A few years ago, I guess it was like 14 years ago, you were saying, they felt a call to move from Saskatchewan to Edmonton and pioneer work there. And so they started with just themselves. Their family was pretty much the boots in the ground and a few people that they met right from the very get-go. But they've just been faithful. And as they've been faithful and obedient, God has brought increase to the point where they have a thriving church now of several hundred people. And God's just doing great things in the city of Edmonton through them. And they are influencing their community. I mean, it's one thing to influence a community of 4,000, but they have a million people that they can bring influence to. And so there's a high call on their ministry there. And so we're grateful that they come and they impart to us, because we want to hear what God's doing. We want to receive the revelation and just really knowledge of what God's showing them, how to increase and to flourish and to thrive, to use the authority that we have as believers. I was blessed by quite a few things, really everything you share, but I took notes of some things that really stuck out to me. And one statement that you made, Pastor Dean: kingdom authority allows us to represent God and enforce his will on the earth. Our authority on the earth is in order to see God's will on earth, right? And so we learned last night about authority and how we've been given the keys. And when God gives us the keys, he's given us everything we need to enforce his will on the earth. We don't have to ask. We don't have to plead. We don't have to whine. None of those things. He's given us the ability. He's given us all the authority that we need to represent him on earth and enforce his will. And his will is the good news. His will is the kingdom, right? His will is people raised up, delivered, restored, set free, amen. Marriages healed, bodies healed, homes healed. That's God's will, right? And we have the ability to be, we have everything we need to be agents of his goodness here on earth. And so I hope we're going to hear more about that again. I'm not sure what the Lord has, but I know it's going to be good. Let's welcome Pastor Dean as he comes to share.
I got elbowed again. I'm just content to sit and relax. Actually, in our home church, Dean and I do the welcome together, and because people didn't know who I was, and it was kind of confusing and everything. So we do the welcome together and welcome our guests and introduce ourselves to the church. It's always fun. But we're so happy to be here. We're really, really honored that Pastor Cam and Candace invited us, and to see Pastor Ray and Linda again, who we honor, and the work you do here. These families just pour their lives out, and we want to honor them. That you have an incredible leadership team. We met with them yesterday morning as well, a group of quality people serving you, loving God and loving you, and they're just laying their lives down, and these are people of integrity. We've known the Hearts for, I don't know, 30-plus years. Dean's known. Like, yeah, Dean has, but I'm not that old. No, we're just really honored to be here. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for allowing us to speak into your church, who you love, and your community, who we love as well. We love the Parkland, and we're honored to be here. We've counted a privilege, and we want to honor you. We want to say thank you as well. What a treat to come to kind of a hometown. I have family here, and we got to stay with family, and that was just a real bonus. What a treat to get to visit with relatives who we love, and they love the Lord, they love us, and we were really, really blessed. So it's been actually very restful for us as well. So it's been a gift to us to give to you, and enjoy the morning. It's going to be super fun. I know my husband has good stuff that God's put on his heart for you, so just prepare your hearts, open your hearts to receive, and say, yes, Lord.
Amen. Good. Awesome. Thanks, honey. I was thinking of how long we've known you guys. You know, back in Edmonton, when we have an opportunity of just sharing a little bit about who we are, By the way, I'll share with you that we have our first grandson, our first grandchild. He just turned 1 year old. And so people say, wow, you know, they'll look at Laura and say, wow, you're so young. How could you have a grandchild? Right? They always look at her and say that. They never look at me and say that. But when they do say that, I say something like, yeah, well, we were really young when we got married. I was 15 and she was 10. Because that's legal in Saskatchewan. That's what I'll say. See, I could say that here because you guys will laugh at that. I don't know if I could get away with that in Saskatchewan. But I grew up in Regina. That's my hometown. That's where I grew up. Laura grew up in a little town called Carlisle, Saskatchewan, just southeast of Regina. We met at one of our church family camps, Arlington Beach, on Long Lake in Saskatchewan, if anybody knows where that is. Some of you have probably been to that camp before back in the day. But that's where I met Laura, and God really put us together. It was an amazing experience that way. And we ended up leaving Regina in 93. We ended up pastoring, helping youth pastor a church in Melfort. And then from Melfort, we ended up coming to Kenora. And we were there for 9 years and had an opportunity of pastoring there. And that's where we had a better opportunity to connect with you guys and the Yorkton Church there as well. And just really had a great 9 years there. Then God prophetically moved us on. He told us to come to Edmonton. And at first I told the group last night that wasn't really in my heart. It wasn't my first choice. It's not really why I want or where I wanted to go. I had other plans. But having to know that God's plans are better than your plans. His ways are higher than our ways, right? And so kind of arm wrestled with God, and he won. So we ended up making a move to Edmonton, and we planted that church. We launched that church, and that was 14 years ago, yeah, that we did that in May of 05. We moved in 04. We started a Bible study in our home, and then we moved into a community public service that was started off in a hotel conference room, and then we went into a Polish Veterans Hall. When I saw the announcement this morning, the Veterans Hall next Sunday, it kind of reminded me of that's one of our early beginnings there. We ended up going to the Polish Veterans Hall, and that's where we were there for a number of years, and then we outgrew that facility, and then we ended up having to get a bigger facility. So we lease a 30,000 square foot facility right now. We started off with 23,000 square feet, had a sanctuary of about 300-400, and then we realized that our children's church area was too small. So we ended up picking up 8,800 square feet just next door to us when that company moved out to expand their business, and we ended up picking that up. So right now we're in the middle of a renovation project. We're actually not in the middle. We're actually at the tail end now, thank God. It's probably, it's one of those, this is the job that never ends kind of song. It's coming to an end. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to happen, and we're going to be in there using that facility probably in mid to late October. So, but it has been—it's been a great opportunity for us to grow and expand and continue to see God bringing increase. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. By the way, speaking of animals, I was kind of chuckling a little bit because the story of the animals back in Kenora, and you know this is a small town, but they had a fire hall raffle, and unbeknownst to me, somebody in our congregation ended up buying 200 raffle tickets under my name. And so I get this phone call one day, and it was, hello, is this Dean Forster? I said, yes, it is. And they said his name, I'm from the fire hall, and you just won a goat. And I wasn't quite hearing him. I thought, wow, I won a boat? He goes, no, a goat. I go, did you say coat? He goes, no, a goat. I said, what? Like, I thought I heard him right, but I'm thinking, I want a goat? Like, who wins a goat? And I couldn't piece this together. I was thinking, like, really? So he goes, yeah, you need to come down to the fire station. We got the goat tied up to the bumper of the fire truck. Just come and pick it up. So I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? So I'm thinking, how did I win this thing? I didn't put my name in the raffle. Like, what in the world? Found out afterwards that somebody had signed 200 tickets under my name. But I go down to the fire station, and there's this goat tied to this bumper of the truck, of this fire truck. And I'm going, like, what in the world? And they go, congratulations, this is your goat. And I'm going, well, how am I going to get this goat home? So I untatch this goat from the fire truck, and I'm trying to pull it down the street, and it's, like, locked. It's like, I'm thinking, this is crazy. Like, I'm ready to take the knife out. No, I'm just kidding. sacrifice it. No, I'm just, so I pick up this goat and I'm carrying it down the street, and there I am walking down Main Street. I get this thing to my house. I ended up tying it to our trampoline in our backyard. I go inside. I go, "Laura, you won't believe this. I want a goat." She goes, "What? You want a boat?" I go, "No, I want a goat." And so she comes out in the backyard, and there's the goat, and we're like, "What are we gonna do with this thing?" I go, "I have no idea. Do we let it loose and just let it eat the lawn, or what?" Like, so thankfully we had a guy by the name of Peter Sikora in our church, and he was a rancher, and he had like all these miniature horses and all, you know, different kind of livestock. And so I called him up. I said, "Hey, Peter, I want a goat." And he goes, "What? You want a boat?" I go, "No, I want a goat, and I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing." And he goes, "Well, I can take it off your hands." I go, "Yep, yes, you can. Yeah, pick it up tomorrow at church, okay? It's so great." So anyways, he ended up taking our goat for us. So I was the proud owner of a goat at one time in my life. So yeah, good idea. So a goat. If you have your Bibles with you, you'd like to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, I was a goat herder at one time in my life. Yeah, goats are not my thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. It says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Just before that verse, though, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Corinthians here, and he says that even if the gospel, verse 3, even if the gospel is hid or veiled, it is hid to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that don't believe, lest the light, everybody say light. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Then he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure." What treasure? Light. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Will you just pray with me? Father, once again, we thank you for the word, your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God, we want to thank you that your word is health to those who find it. It's strength through our bones. It's Lord, thank you that it proves what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God, I pray that as I minister your word today, Lord, that it would fall on fertile soil. Lord, it would be received this morning. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see. Remove the veil from our hearts. Lord, may we have hearts, Lord, that are pliable. Lord, I pray, God, that this would not just be information, but, Lord, it would become revelation. And then application that would lead to transformation. Change us, oh God. We give you permission, Lord, today to change us. Change me. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your work of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many ready to change this morning? Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, "Watch me change in front of your eyes." All right. So Paul is saying there's this light that is in this earthen vessel. And of course, we know that the light is the knowledge of Christ. It's the knowledge of the gospel. It's the glory of God. And last night we talked about how we have this authority, this power that God has given us to be able to enforce his will on the earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I left you with one thought last night. Don't tolerate what Jesus came to eliminate. God wants to see his will done on the earth, and not just on the earth, in your life. God wants to see something specially done in you and through you. And so Paul reminds us there is this light, this treasure of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that is within this earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is speaking of you. Okay? We are earthen. We have physical bodies that one day, unless Jesus returns, one day we will die and our bodies will go back into the earth, right? Dust to dust. We're made of the earth. And so this is an earthen vessel. But how many know that this vessel that we have is really not what it's all about? It's the treasure that's on the inside. That you are a spiritual being, redeemed of the Lord. Amen. You're righteous in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus this morning, that means that you have said yes to the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you on the cross, that you said, yes, Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried and that you rose from the dead. You came to free me from my sin, that you came to deliver me and forgive me of my sin. And I receive you into my life. The scripture says that Jesus was made sin so that you could become righteous. He gave you a free gift of righteousness. And that righteousness is the condition of your spirit. You are a spiritual being. How many know that you are a spirit? Yes. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. Call this earthen vessel. But the real you is spirit. And the real you has been changed by the power of God's grace that you are now light. You are now light. You have light on the inside of you. And it was deposited there by the Father of lights. You know, in James chapter 1, I'm going to turn there just for the sake of time, but you know what it says, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance or shadow of turning? You know that verse of Scripture? When it describes God as the Father of lights, you ever wondered why he's described that way? Well, you say, well, he's cut because he's light. He's the Father of light. No, it says lights. He's the Father of lights. Not light, Father of lights. That means that, church, what he's trying to communicate to us is that because you and I are now born again by God, by the incorruptible seed, which is his word, which is the gospel of Christ, which is light, you are now born of light. Now you are a light bearer. You are a light carrier. In other words, you are light. And that's why your Father is the Father of lights. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father of lights who's in heaven. Okay? So you are light. You've got this treasure in you. In Matthew 5, let me go there for a second because I wanted to kind of quote a couple other verses there for you. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says again, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus starts off by saying that you are a light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Have you ever traveled in, I know that we live in kind of the plains here, and so you can kind of see forever, but in BC or in other parts of the world, there is a lot more terrain of rolling hills and mountainous areas. We were in Jerusalem a number of years ago, and of course that's built on Mount Moriah. It's a hill, it's a more of a hill than a mountain, but we've been to BC as well, traveling through BC parts, and you see cities that when you're coming up over the horizon, you see them. You see the lights glowing on the hilltop. It's easy to spot the next town. It's like, where are we going to get there? Oh, there it is. I can see it, right? It's kind of that beacon of hope that you know you're heading in the right direction, that you're going to arrive sometime. And so Jesus kind of alludes to the fact that as a church, we are light and we're set on a hill that we can be seen. We can't see very well if it's hidden. And God wants to remind us this morning that we are not to be hidden, we're to be seen. Amen. Solid Rock Church is to be seen in the community of Swan River and region. We need to let our light so shine. There's ways that we can get out into the community. Just this past summer, we had a major outreach event in our in one of our parks in Edmonton, Rundle Park, if anybody knows Edmonton. And we have a couple in our church that just have a heart for outreach and evangelism. And they ended up, I mean, they have so much material, games and stations of play. And they just set this amazing scene up in one of our parks where they just allowed the park community to come and play on the stations and play in the games. And we had the church rally behind that. We had major like food, part, you know, just potluck stuff. We just had major food set out so that anybody that just came by, they wanted to play on one of our stations, they could play, and then they could have a hot dog, or they could have some chicken, or they could have whatever. I mean, we just had it all set out. And we just really wanted to let the church or the community know that, hey, we're here. We're present. And I know that you guys have probably done things similar to that, or you're wanting to let the community know that, hey, Solid Rock Community Church is here. We're not just hidden somewhere in a building somewhere doing our own thing. We are light to be seen. And so Jesus reminds us that we are light. It's not the only commodity that Jesus uses in reference to this treasure. And he also talks about water. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So in that portion of scripture, we see Jesus referring to water that we have on the inside of us. So not only are we light bearers, we also have this water that's on the inside. John 4 says, Jesus answered and said to them, whoever drinks of this water, remember when he was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, right? And she was getting water. He said, give me a glass of water. And she was doing that for him. And then Jesus said, you know, he who drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so God, again, reminds us this morning that we've got this life source on the inside of us. I don't know how, you know, we just need to be reminded this morning that you are valuable. I said that last night to the church, the group that was here. But you need to be reminded how valuable you are. As a matter of fact, many of you weren't here, so I'll say this again. Touch your neighbor and say, if you knew how valuable I was, you'd take me out for lunch today. You're valuable. Hey, if you knew how valuable I was, you'd take me out to lunch today.
It's a deal.
All right, man, we're on. We had that plan ahead of time. Why? Because you have this light and you have this water. The light is the gospel. The water is the Holy Spirit. You have the gospel. You have the knowledge of Christ on the inside of you. You got this life-giving force living on the inside of you. It's a living light and it's a living water. And it's something, church, that God has placed within you. And it's not for just you to keep to yourself. I want you to understand this morning, church, that there is this treasure in an earthen vessel. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk about the vessel now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's begin reading at verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified. That word sanctified means to set apart. It's purposed for a purpose. It's meant to be used for a purpose, sanctified. And useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay, let's stop there for a second. So the Word of God tells us that in every great house, I want you to know that Solid Rock is a great house.
Yeah.
It's a great house. This is the house of God.
Yeah.
And God has you in this house. And that's what makes this house a great house, by the way. It's not the building. It's you. You're a great people. You're a great people. The Bible says that you are a holy people, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Yeah, you're peculiar. Touch your neighbor and say, yeah, you're strange. You're peculiar. Yeah, you're different. You should be. You should be because you're not of this world. Amen. You're born from the Spirit of God. You're born from above. There's something different about you. You're unique. Amen. Praise God. You know what? Can I just say this morning? Some of you need to realize how valuable you are. There's nobody like you. There never has been anybody like you. There never will be anybody like you. You are you, and there's only one you. God made you unique. You are unique. And you're unique for a reason, because God designed you. Yes. God created you. Yes. God made you. You're special. And I want you to see the value of that. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to imitate somebody else. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You're you. And there's a reason why you're you, because God needed you. Out of all the people he ever made in the universe, he said, you know what? I don't have you, so I got to make you. Because if I don't make you, I'll never have you. Because nobody else is you but you. You're unique. So I want you to see how valuable you are. You're special. You're unique. So God is saying, you know what? In my house, I've got many vessels. Many vessels. God's got a great house. And there's many vessels in this house. Now, in our house, we've got vessels. And vessels are just containers. They're cups, they're pitchers, they're bowls, right? We all have those in our kitchen. And then we also have things in the garage, like rusty cans and garbage cans and dirty containers of other things, right? And so in our house, we've got vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We don't take our garbage can and bring it into the kitchen and serve our guests out of that. Okay, that would not be a good thing. Okay? So if you want to come to our house, we'll make sure that we don't serve you out of our garbage can. But in our dining room and in our kitchen, when it's time to serve people, we've got good, what was I going to say? Good dishes. Where's that word again? Dishes. We've got good dishes. We've got good vessels that we're going to serve you. We've got pitchers that, you know, we're going to pour you a drink out of. We've got good bowls that we're going to serve you out of, and plates that you can eat from. And those are vessels of honor, and they're clean for you. And so I want you to notice how God doesn't want you to be a dirty vessel. Because how many know, church, that he wants to take the light that is on the inside of you, that he wants to take the water, that living water that's on the inside of you, and he doesn't want you to contain it. He wants you to be a conduit that can pour out from it. God wants to pour out his light and his water from you into other people. Let your light so shine before men. Don't cap it. Don't contain it. Don't conceal it. Release it. Be a vessel that can be used by God to serve others with. That he can pour out his life source to others through. God is asking us this morning to evaluate the vessel. Am I a vessel that contains, or am I a vessel that is a conduit of serving? I think there's too many silent Christians and not enough shining Christians. I think when it comes to the water, I think there's too many lake Christians and not enough river Christians. You see, what a lake Christian is, you know what a lake is? A lake is just a body of water that collects. It just collects. You know, whether it's runoff, whether it's rain, whether it's spring-fed, it collects. But a river is something that flows. A river is something that where the water transfers from one point to another point. What river is here? Swan River. That makes sense. Wow. Hey? Who thought of that? We got the North Saskatchewan River going through Edmonton. So just the fact that it's got Saskatchewan in the name, it kind of helps me a little bit. So you got the Swan River. Where's the Swan River, by the way? I never saw it coming in. Where? Is it north of here? Oh, okay, cool. Where does it come from? Swan Lake? Where does it go to? What? To another Swan Lake.
It comes from Saskatchewan.
Oh, okay. So it's on its way somewhere. But I'm sure that every establishment, every community along the river benefits from the river. There's something that I know that in the North Saskatchewan, it comes from close to BC, and it makes its way through Edmonton and through Saskatoon, I believe, and so forth. But every point along that river, there is a source of life. There's something that they can get from the river. And that's what the river's meant for. The river is meant to be able to be a conduit or a channel for the life flow of the water to other people. God never intended the light and the water to be contained to yourself. Right. He never poured in to you so that you could keep it to yourself. I love your motto. To be free, to be full, and to overflow. What a great motto. That's exactly what God is asking his household of vessels to be. Not just people that are free, and not just people that are full, but people that overflow. You got the cap off. You got the lid off. You're not a lake. You're a river. You know, I'm tired of, I don't know about you, but I mean, I get the whole analogy of jumping in the river and flowing in the river. I mean, I know from the Old Testament, we have the, you know, the prophetic, picture of the river flowing out of the temple up to our ankles and our knees and our loins and so forth. And it's time to get in the river. And we sang songs like that, right? Jumping in the river, flowing in the river. And we sing songs that. Can I just say this, church? It's time to stop thinking about flowing in the river and start thinking about the river flowing out of us.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that was better than your amen right there. We talk too much about flowing in the river, jumping in the river. Well, that's a nice thought and an analogy of being in the Holy Spirit, praise God. But church, if it's just about bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, and never about being a blessing to somebody else,
right.
Amen. Can we talk about the fact that God wants to bless you? Yeah, you know what, you guys all talk about blessing. You just want to be blessed. Yeah, to be a blessing.
Yeah.
I want to be blessed, yeah, but I just don't want to be blessed for my sake. I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to somebody else.
Right.
Somebody else has to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right.
And how are they going to taste and see that the Lord is good unless we are pitchers in the Master's hand to be able to pour out his water into the lives of other people? God's never called us to have a holy huddle and stay by ourselves in our own little world and never get out and touch the community around us. He's called us to let our light so shine and let the water flow out of our lives that we can water others.
Yeah.
Touch others with the life of God.
Good.
You know, when the Bible says that taste and see that the Lord is good, how are people going to taste and see that the Lord is good? Like, that just makes sense. How do you taste and see that the Lord is good? We just lick the air and hopefully we get a taste of God somewhere? No. You taste and see that the Lord is good by other believers that are salty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Jesus talked about that before he talked about the light. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Okay, that's another commodity, but amen. We need to be salt shakers.
Yeah.
You don't put salt in a salt shaker just to kind of have a decorative on your kitchen table. You take the salt shaker and you season your food with it. Amen. And when it doesn't come out, there's something wrong with the salt shaker, or there's something wrong with the, you know, it's clumped in there somehow, but you got to break it up. You got to loosen it up. You got to get it ready to get out of the vessel.
That's right.
Amen. You don't keep it in the salt shaker. Praise God. Let's get the salt shakers unclogged and let's start sprinkling the world around us with the life of God and let people taste and see that the Lord is good. Awesome. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit more. The fact that we are not containers, we are conduits. We need to be people that release this life of God. And Jesus always had it on our minds, his mind, I should say, that it would never be just, what can I give you? How much more can I give you? Just let me give you more. And isn't that kind of, you know, it's unfortunate, church, but it's not that we don't want more. But let me remind you again why we want the more. We want the more. And I know it's going to bless us. I know it's going to enrich us. I know it's going to help us personally. But it's the more for the overflow. When Jesus said, I want to give you life and life more abundantly, I love the overflow concept that you guys have here. That's amazing. That's great. Keep that. It's not just a nice little cliche. It's not just a nice little motto that you just, well, that's nice. We're free, we're full, and we're overflowing. No, it's this idea that, yes, God is really desiring to overflow out of your life. So he pours into you more so that you can become more available to overflow in others. So Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 10, freely you have received, freely keep it to yourself. Oh, sorry, I misquoted that. No, freely you've received, finish it for me, freely you've received, freely
give.
What a concept. That God would want us to not just get, but give. As a matter of fact, isn't that what love is all about? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, church, love gives. Lust takes. Matthew chapter 19. Is it really 5 to 12? That's enough. That's Ontario time.
My watch says 5 to 11.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Are we on Alberta time? Okay, Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 16. I'll get through this. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came to Jesus and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, just a reminder again that Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross. Jesus had not yet atoned for the sins of the world. So the time period that Jesus is in right now with this guy is Old Testament time. Although it's in the New Testament, it is Old Testament. Jesus hadn't yet been crucified, hadn't yet risen from the dead, hadn't yet atoned for our sins. So this young ruler comes to him and says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And again, Jesus kind of qualifies that statement by saying, "You know, why do you call me good? No one is good except God." Now, it wasn't the fact that Jesus was denying the fact that he was God in the flesh. He was just making sure this guy understood, hey, when you say good, you need to be referring to God. And I don't know if you know that I'm him, but anyways. Verse 18, and he said to him, Jesus went on to say, "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now again, remember, this is the Old Testament. How many know that's not our qualification for eternal life today? It's by grace through faith that we're saved in Christ, right? That's our salvation. It's not by keeping the old law. How many know that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law? He came to fulfill it. So when people say, "Well, you know what? I don't have to obey the law anymore. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace." Listen, you're saved by grace, but you live in accordance to the moral law, not to be saved, but out of your salvation. Don't do away with thou shalt not kill. That's still a good law to keep, right? Right? So, but we don't do that for our salvation. We do that as a result of our salvation. Now we're walking out of love. Now the love of God is on the inside of us, and we don't do it out of legal obligation. We do it out of love, loyalty to him. Amen. Out of love. See, there's a shift. Before we were believers, we were greedy, we were selfish. We wanted to get all you can all you get, sit on the can. No, you know what I mean? That was the old man. That's the old flesh. But as believers in Christ, with the Holy Spirit now on the inside of us, which is love, we now are people who want to give. That's the inherent nature of God on the inside of us. Now the problem is that our soul, all our mind, our will, and our emotions hasn't quite transitioned in that area yet, and so we can actually prevent that love from being released. Although the Spirit of God on the inside of us wants to release it, our soul wants to keep it. And so we gotta renew our minds. That's why the Bible says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed," or changed, right? That's what we're here for, right? At the beginning, you touch your neighbor and say, "Watch me change before your very eyes." So you're changed and transformed by the renewing of our minds. So our minds are now becoming renewed in order that we would line up with God's will, God's way, so that his love can now be expressed through us. Okay, so freely received, freely give. Now, Matthew chapter 19, let's continue on there. He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, if you want to be mature, if you really want to grow up," can I ask you this morning, how many want to grow up? How many want to become more mature than you were yesterday? You want to be more like Christ? Yeah. That's maybe a better question. If you want to be more like Jesus, raise your hand. All right. So here's what Jesus is saying. If you want to be more mature, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so what was the test? This man was coming to Jesus saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? Under the Old Testament law, you needed to keep the commandments. Which ones? These ones. I've kept those from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said, "Well, if you want to be mature." Now, let me just stop there for a second and say this. Listen, guys, again, we're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace through faith. Okay, and you, how many are born again? You know you're born again. You're a child of God. Okay. I asked you already, how many want to become more like Jesus? All you, raise your hand. Okay, I'm not going to tell you to sell all you have and give it to the poor, but I'm going to ask you this question. What is it that has your heart more than God? Your affection for this thing trumps your affection for the Lord, so that if God was to ask you for it, you would have a hard time giving it up. What would that be? It could be money. That's a big one. That a lot of times, if I only had more, I have more money. God, don't ask for my money. That tithe, I just ignore that when they talk about the tithe. Don't talk about the tithe. I can't afford to give the tithe. I don't have the time to get on the tithe. I'd love to talk about that. You know that God, you know why God gives us the tithe? I'm getting on that. From the very beginning, God created a system in place that when God created mankind, he initiated the test. He said, "Out of all the trees of the garden, you shall not eat of them. You should eat of them all except for one." See, God always desired there to be something that only belonged to him that we were not allowed to touch. It was his. It was his. And God said, "Don't eat of that tree. That's mine. Don't touch it." And inherently, mankind has this desire to want to have everything and keep everything to themselves. The more that I can get, the more that I can have, the more knowledge I can get, the more experience I can have, the more money I can get, the more I can do. I mean, we're just wanting. And God says, "I don't want you to be that way, that you only want to have everything for yourself. You need to get to a place in your discipline of faith that God is Lord, and that when he asks of you at any time, he has a vessel of honor that he can use to pour in and to be able to pour out any time he wants to." So he's going to ask certain things of you. Remember when Israel went into the promised land? The first city that they were to take over was Jericho. And God said to Joshua, he said, "Joshua, when you take them into Jericho and you're taken over, the silver and the gold belongs to me. Don't touch it. He who touches it, you're cursed. It's mine." And so they went over, they attacked Jericho. We know the story, they went in, and Achan ended up taking of the gold and silver, and he hid it under his bed. Remember that? Then Israel went in to go and to attack Ai, and they were defeated by Ai. And they, with their tails tucked between their legs, went back to God and said, "God, I can't believe we lost against Ai. They're not even as big as Jericho. What happened there?" And God said, "You didn't obey me." You see, God always requires the first fruits. He always requires the first. He wants the first. That's why he told Abraham and Jacob, he told Moses, he said, "Out of the first of your firstlings, of your flock, of your herds, I want the first. I want the first." Because when we give God the first, it's easy to give God the last. But it's a trust issue, church. It's a trust issue. Can you trust God with the first? Can you trust God with that which holds on to you? See, church, we have the Holy Spirit. Let me just say it this way. We have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? When he puts something on your heart, when he says, "I want that in your life, when I want to use you in this way," can he use you? Can he do things through you? Can he ask you to go across your street and witness to your neighbor? Can he get you to go across the aisle and talk to your colleague at work? Can he ask that of you? Can he ask you to pour out the light, pour out the salt, pour out the water that needs to touch somebody else so they can taste and see that the Lord is good? Or does something have you so much that you can't release it? See, God is wanting to, is it your reputation? Is it sexual immorality that God is saying, "Listen, I want to clean that up in your life. I want to get rid of that area in your life." Let's not fool ourselves, church. We live in a day and age with social media today that we have access to pornography at the snap of our finger. Boom, there it is. There it is. And we try to hide it. We try to make it secret. Nobody else knows about this. And God is now putting his finger on that and saying, I want you to give that up. I want you to give that up. You're blocking the light. You're hindering me from using you in this area because you're containing, you're capping, you're preventing me from flowing through you in this area. Maybe it's a hobby. Sometimes it doesn't have to be the gross, indecent things. Maybe it's a hobby that we have that we just can't let go of, and God wants us to use us in certain areas of ministry, but hey, you know what? That I can't do that on a Tuesday. I can't go to Connect Groups on a Tuesday night. I got this hobby. I got to go to bingo that night. That's my bingo night. Yeah. Maybe God's asking you to give that up so that you can plug in. Well, you know what? I don't need to learn anymore. I got all that I can. Selfish. Yeah. Because it's not about you. It's about being a vessel in the master's house so that God can pour in you in order to pour through you into somebody else. See, God wants to use you to give. That's what love is all about. It's not about getting more, getting more, getting more. Listen, if you think you've got enough, then start giving some of it away. Start sharing it. Start communicating it. Start helping somebody else grow up in their discipleship in the Lord. Amen? Be a discipler. Well, I think I've been discipled enough. Well, then be a discipler. Help somebody else grow in their faith. Come to Christ. Learn the basics of the gospel. Bring them to the level you're at. But don't stop learning. I'm not saying don't stop getting. Keep getting all the knowledge you can. Get the knowledge. Get the wisdom of God. But start giving it away. Start sharing it. And that's how the church is going to grow and multiply, church. It's not just coming and collecting and getting. It's coming and gathering in order to receive, in order to give. Share it. Take it to the community. Take it to the workplace. Take it to the schools. Wherever you are, let your light so shine. Take the lid off the vessel and start pouring out. Let God pour through you. But I think, church, what God was dealing with this young man was he had something that was attached to him that he couldn't give up. And when God was saying, listen, if you're going to grow and you're going to walk with me, you're going to have to go where I want you to go and do what I want you to do if you're really going to fulfill my plan and purpose for your life. But if money is more important to you than the Father's will, you're going to be limited. It's not that you're not saved, but you're going to be limited in how bright you can shine and how salty you can be and how much water can flow out of you. So give it away. That's not necessarily God's call for you to give all of your money away. It's something else, perhaps. But what is it? What is it that is preventing you from being seen and heard with the greatest treasure known to man? What is that? You know, there's an animal in Africa. It's called the ring-tailed monkey. And of course, a lot of the animals come to, they capture them to bring them to North America to put them in zoos and however you feel about that. I think I'm in hunting country here, so I think I'm safe to talk about that. But whether you're an animal activist or not, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But what happens is in Africa, they have a ring-tailed monkey that is really, really difficult to catch. As a matter of fact, it's one of the hardest animals for them to catch. They're so sly and sneaky and fast, and they can get away from their captors. But the Zulus know how to capture this animal. And they discovered that this animal loves the seeds of a certain melon. And so what they do is they put these melons out, and these ring-tailed monkeys come and gather around these melons. But what they do is the Zulus cut the end of the melon off, just a big enough hole for the monkey to be able to stick his hand through the hole and get to the seeds. And because this monkey loves the taste of these seeds so much, it's one of their best diets, they end up grabbing as much as they can, and then they try to pull their hand out, but the hole's too small, and they can't get it out. And instead of letting go of the seeds in order to escape, they're too greedy, they're too selfish, they're too connected to that diet that they hang on to them and they can't release their hand. And they screech, and the Zulus just come up behind them and grab them. And they capture them that way. And I just want to use that as an example because, church, there are times where God is asking you to let go of whatever has grabbed your heart, if it's not God, because he's asking of you to be a vessel of honor that he wants to use for his glory, but we can't seem to let go of whatever that is. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's a reputation. Maybe it's our ego. Maybe it's a relationship. What is it? And because of that, we become snared. And I know my time is really escaping me here, and I don't mean to keep you longer than you want to stay here, but let me just take this minute here, and I will wrap up in the next 5 minutes, I promise. 2 Timothy. See, my church would laugh at me when I said that right there, but I will do my best. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. 2 Timothy, sorry. Yeah. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Remember, this is right after the portion of scripture that we'd already read about the vessel of honor in the master's house. In the same context, Paul's continuing to write here, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, for God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Now watch in verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. God talks about us being vessels of honor, but then he talks about us being able to be cleansed from quarreling, from strife, from division, from arguments, from other things, that lusts and foolish disputes. He begins to talk about us cleansing ourselves from those things, lest the enemy snares us and we become vessels of dishonor rather than vessels of honor. I brought this little lantern with me. I'm going to just step up a little bit so everybody can see it. It's maybe you have these. They're obviously not that rare, but it's cool. We camp as much as we can when we can. This year was brutal in Alberta. We had rain almost every day. It was the worst wet summer ever, so we didn't go out a whole lot. But it's great at nighttime because when we need to get somewhere, we just use this little lantern. And look at how bright that is. Isn't that bright? That's a bright lantern. You can go anywhere with that thing. That's so good. So we carry this around, but I want to use this as an example because this is a vessel of light, and this is going to represent you today. So this vessel, this lantern of light, is you. You're born again. You got the knowledge of the gospel of Christ in you. You're carrying his glory, that nature of God, that DNA of God that people need to see, the love of God that needs to shine through your life and touching your community. And we want to be that vessel of honor. Anytime the master wants to let your light shine, he says, let your light shine, and we can let our light shine in our community through the goods that we do, good works that we do, through the words that we speak, how we conduct ourselves in the marketplace. When we're in line at the grocery store and somebody butts in line, how do we handle that? Sure, go ahead. It's all right. No, I understand. Or do we say, get out of my way, man. What are you doing? I was here first. How do you react to that, right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic. So how do you live your life behind closed doors? What habits are you involved in? What images are you looking at? Where's your mind going? See, when we begin to get ourselves in places of selfishness and we begin to, you know, turn our flesh over, you know, to gratify itself, where, no, I want that, that's mine, I'm not going to give that up, I'm not going to do that. Well, would you like to serve in our children's department? No, I don't think I want to do that, I don't think I want to serve anywhere in the church. Matter of fact, I just like to come and just sit in the back row and just get, nothing about the back row, guys. Okay, just, I know you came in a little bit late. But you're just not willing to serve, you're not willing to give, you've got your own desires, your own pleasures, your own needs, your own wants, and you're just doing your own thing. And little by little, church, here's what happens. Little by little, you begin to see that your vessel begins to, you know, close. No longer are you that available vessel that God can just take that water and light and begin to pour out on other people. You now begin to hold things to yourself, and little by little, your vessel begins to close. I'm doing my thing. I'm hurt. Somebody didn't say hi to me that morning. I was at church. They walked right by me. They didn't smile. I don't think I like them anymore. Little by little, your light begins to diminish and your vessel begins to close. How would you like to give to the building program? How would you like to give to a mission work that we're doing in Africa? I'd like to sow into that ministry. Let your light so shine. Nah, I can't afford to do that. I got other things that I'm doing right now, hobbies that I have that are going to cost more money. I'm going to just hold that to myself. And little by little, we are not availing ourselves to God and what he wants to do. And little by little, our light begins to diminish. And watch this. Little by little, we're no longer seen by the world around us. Now, let me just share this with you. Your light hasn't stopped shining. It's just shining on the inside. But it can't be seen on the outside. It's still there. It's just hidden. And God wants to take the lid off. He wants to get you back into a place, church, where you are availed to him, that you're giving up the things that are holding on to you, that you're beginning to trust him again and able to release the things that have held tight onto your heart. God wants to get those extracted away from you so that he can use you. Can I encourage you this morning, church? I'm going to close with this. Yeah, that's cool. Just close with this thought. A vessel of honor is a person who can trust God with everything he or she has in order for God to trust you with everything he has. A vessel of honor is one who can trust God with everything they have in order for God to trust you with everything he has. We talked about the authority of the believer last night to walk in his power, to enforce his will, to represent him on the earth. You are ambassadors of Christ. You are representatives of heaven. God poured his light on the inside of you for it to shine. He poured his water on the inside of you for you to pour it out to others. Be that representative. Be that vessel of honor that the world around you is going to be benefited by you. This church will grow. It will grow more and more and more as you let God use you. Let's stand together. Father, we want to be fit for the Master's use. We want to be vessels of honor, not dishonor. We don't want to be containers that just hold a bunch of junk and garbage in the garage. Father, we want to be vessels of honor that are placed on the Master's table that when guests come, Lord, that we can be used to pour the life food, the source of life, out of into their lives. Lord, that you feel, Lord, that we can be that vessel. And so, God, we take inventory of our hearts this morning. We examine ourselves. Lord, what is it, Lord, that we have held on to so tightly? What is it, Lord, that we have not allowed you to change in our lives? Is there bitterness? Is there anger? Is there unforgiveness? Is there offense? Is there resentment? Is there lust in our hearts? Is there hobbies? Is there past failures, Lord, that we have not been able to let go of, and we've limited our light from shining? We've limited the Holy Spirit from flowing through us to others. Father, today, I just believe, Lord, your word today is it's dishes time. Here's the word, church, it's dishes time. God's doing is it's dishes time. It's dishes time. In that house, that great house, are many vessels. And God is collecting his dishes, and he's beginning to wash them. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for the guests that are coming to his house. Here's your choice. You want to get in the dishwasher? You want to get in the sink and let him wash you? Or you want to scurry into the dark recesses of the corner somewhere where he can't find you? Let him take your life. It's dishes time, church. Let him cleanse you. Right now throughout the room, the Holy Spirit is beginning to just, he's speaking to you. He's been speaking to you out throughout the morning and revealing certain things to your life. Let him continue to speak to you. Obey that voice. Obey that voice. If you feel in your heart that God is really speaking to you about releasing something that you've been hanging on to and that you need to let go of in order for God to use you as a vessel of honor, I want you to just step out of your seat and come forward. Just as an act of faith, we're going to pray in a closing prayer. But just if that's you, you say to yourself, you know what? I'm not talking about, listen, church, don't be embarrassed. I'm not saying that if you step out of your seat, that yeah, that's the pornography problem right there. That's why some of you won't step out. I'm talking about anything else. I'm talking about whether it's money, hobbies, reputation, egos, whether it's relationships, whether it's, you know, complacency, apathy, lethargy, whatever it is that grips our heart that says, God, it's on my terms, not your terms. God says, no, it's on my terms. If you're going to be a vessel of honor, let me cleanse you. But you got to be willing. He wants to clean you from the inside out. That's you. Just step forward. Let's just fill up the front here and say, God, that's me. Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. Lord, I want to avail myself and allow you to pour your light in order to pour it through. Lord, your water in order to pour it out. Lord, help me to take the lid off. I don't want to be a container. I want to be a conduit. I don't want to be a lake Christian. I want to be a river Christian. I don't want to be a hidden Christian. I want to be a shining Christian. I want to be somebody that will be seen and heard, demonstrating the love of God to the world around me, in my workplace, at school, in my community, on my sports team. I don't want to blend in. I want to blend out. I want to let people see. I want to be more visible. Father, thank you. Lord, you are building your church, Lord, around the world. Thank you, Lord, for Swan River. Thank you, Lord, for Solid Rock Church. That is here in this place, Lord, as a beacon, as a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Lord, thank you, God. This is a lighthouse. Glory to God. It's a fountain of river, of water. Thank you, Lord, springing up for all to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, humbly. You give grace to the humble. Lord, you resist the proud. Father, right now, the humility shown, Lord, is saying, God, I just want to get out of the way so that, Lord, you can get in the way. Lord, I trust you to give up in order to go up. I trust you, Lord, so that you can entrust whatever you need to entrust me with. I'll be faithful to do it. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for these brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that desire, Lord, to be vessels of honor. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of the church, Lord, that feel, Lord, that we're at that place already, Lord. We're willing, we're able. Maybe for some of you in this room, you're just at a place where you're saying, you know what, I got to digest that a little bit more. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Yeah, take the time, but don't ignore his voice. Don't ignore his prompting. Let God be God in your life. For some of you, maybe perhaps you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you just have this form of religion. It's just, you know what, I grew up in church, or I've been around church, and I just kind of go through the services, and being in the church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a hospital would make you a doctor. Your association with the church is not your salvation. Your association with God is, and that's through faith in Christ. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you right now to open up your heart and just say a simple prayer, most powerful prayer that you could ever say, that when you pray this prayer and you mean it with your heart, a miracle literally takes place inside of you. God, by his Spirit, comes to live on the inside of you. That's you. Pray this prayer with me. Lord God, thank you that you love me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. You made only one me for a purpose. I want to be that vessel of honor. So I invite Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Take my life and do something with it. in Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer. Welcome to the family of God, first of all. But before you leave today, would you please talk to Pastor Cam? Let him know that you made that decision. And he's going to help you get started in your new walk with God. This is a great, great church to be a part of. You're here at the right time, at the right place. God bless you. Church, thank you so much. People that came forward, walk with the determination in your heart that you are going to be a vessel that God will use, fit for the Master's use. God bless you.